don't know what time the clock on the wall has.
My clock, 9 o'clock. Where to start? Okay, as far as how things are going with Pastor and Jen, several of us received phone calls from Pastor yesterday. He sounded upbeat, and like himself. The situation is fluid, changing, of course. The elders of the parish sent out a text last week informing folks the decisions that had been made regarding treatment in consultation with their medical people. Those decisions have changed, or at least the decision not to have surgery. There will be surgery. They're going ahead with that. But they're finding facilities and so on are a problem. So how soon that will be, no one knows. But once again, the elders of the parish will try to keep you informed, as much to say, don't. We may bring you up to date on that much this morning. With that, shall we begin? the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction? Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Arise for our help, and redeem us. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O God, who seest that we put not our trust in anything that we do, mercifully grant that by thy power we may be defended against all adversity, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Confession, Chief Articles of the Faith, Article 27 of Monastic Vow. In the second place, why do our adversaries exaggerate the obligation or effect of a vow, when at the same time they have not a word to say of the nature of the vow itself, that it ought to be in a thing possible, that it ought to be free and chosen spontaneously and deliberately? But it is not unknown to what extent perpetual chastity is in the power of man, and how few are there who have taken the vow spontaneously and deliberately. Young maidens and men, before they are able to judge, are persuaded and sometimes even compelled to take the vow. Wherefore, it is not fair to insist so rigorously on the obligation, since it is granted by all that it is against the nature of a vow to take it without spontaneous and deliberate action. Our Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes up forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So far, our Old Testament reading. Epistle reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 11, verse 19, through chapter 12, verse 9. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily,
care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I turn and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And though through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmity. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So far, I've in the epistle. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell in good ground, and sprung up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good soil are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men text this morning is the Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. I would like to read at this time a little more of the context than what is included in the prescribed text. From verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." Please be seated. The Word of God. I remember years ago asking my pastor, "What on earth are we talking about? You can't calculate it." I used to ask my catechism students on the basis of this word of Isaiah, or the word of God through Isaiah, "How my thoughts are not your thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high my thoughts and my ways are above yours." I used to ask my junior catechism students, "How high is up? When you can answer that, then maybe you can get your head around God and his word." It is, after all, his word through which he deals with his creation. In fact, it's the word that brings about the creation, isn't it? And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the heavens." The creation is brought about by God speaking it. Interesting. And yet, when it comes to man, he formed Adam out of what he had already spoke into existence and breathed the breath of life into him and placed him in the garden and said to him, speaking his word, "You may eat of any of the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the center of the garden, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." There's another entity that has a word, the serpent. Did God really say? "God knows that in the day you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When God had created them in his own image. Death enters creation by man not listening to the word of God. Interesting, too, that John begins his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made, and apart from him nothing was made." And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." God's ways are not ways. His thoughts and ways are as high as up compared to our thinking. His answer
is that the Word becomes flesh.
In our gospel reading, we saw Jesus teaching the parable of the sower.
Beautiful parable to explain how God deals with His creation. He sends sowers of the Word. Isaiah was one of those. Isaiah's time was a time of decay in Jerusalem and Judea, rejection of the God who had established them as His people. It was a nation and a culture hell-bent to destruction. And much of Isaiah's preaching was of the sort that he describes, that the Lord described to him at the time of his call. It is referred to by Jesus and quoted by him as he explained to the apostles why he was teaching in parables.
Interesting, that parable that we read, the sower goes out to sow. God sends his spokesman. My math tells me that three of the four examples that he gives are the Word is rejected and fruitless. And so it was with the ministry of Jesus. In fact, so it is down through history when God sends his sowers. He, after all, from the time of the Old Testament on, has in this world only what the Scripture calls a remnant of his people within the world. One of the prime examples in the ministry of Jesus, I think, is the feeding of the 5,000. Remember that story? 5,000 people with just a few fish and loaves of bread that he feeds. And what does he do? He goes in hiding, goes up the mountain, because he knows they want to come and make him king. They want a bread king. They're looking for the easy road. The life in this world of luxury, ease, and comfort. The next day, back in the other side of the lake, they chase him down and remind him that in the wilderness, Moses fed the people with manna. Now they're looking for him to do the same. Jesus speaks long with them. John chapter 6, where this account is one of the longest chapters. He points out to them that he is the bread of life. Moses fed the people of manna in the wilderness and they died, he says. I am the bread of life, the bread which came down from heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. The answer to man's rejection of God's word and following the word of Satan is the Word made flesh, the bread come down from heaven. But that Word too, there's only a small remnant. Those to whom he speaks don't want to hear it. Verses 66 through 68 from John 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. He wasn't offering what they were looking for. The easy, successful life. Not much of a motivational speaker, I guess. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, are his thoughts and ways above ours. The cross wouldn't be our idea of how God should come among men. Not by any means. But his focus on life, eternal life, his demonstration that he has the power over life and death, is really the trigger that brings about the crucifixion. The word being sown by the word himself is rejected by the chief priests and the rulers of the people on the very basis that he has raised Lazarus from death. Ah, they say, if we let him go on like this, everybody will be following him, and the Romans will come and take away our nation and our place. Boy, if that doesn't sound like the leadership in Jerusalem at the time of Isaiah the prophet. But he, in his crucifixion, he in his death destroys the power of death over mankind. Yes, he had restored dead to life. Lazarus, 4 days dead in the tomb, stinking. Oh, and how did he do that? Lazarus, come forth by his word. The word speaks the word, and the dead come back to life. But he is the first fruits of the resurrection. His life, the human life raised with him, is not simply a resuscitation like those whom he brought back to life. Those are all dead and gone these days, have died like all the rest of us. But he's the first fruit of the resurrection. He has answered the question of death. He's destroyed the enemy. After his resurrection and Pentecost, sowers go out to sow. The Apostle Paul. And sadly, their message too is very often, again, probably most often, rejected. Still, God's people are but a remnant. We heard the Apostle Paul in that fairly long epistle reading this morning, describing his rejection. Stone, lashed, what was it, 5 times with the 40 lashes? And so on. The Word of God is how he deals with us. And he does it by sending sowers out to sow. There is all that rejection of the word. But look at the miracles worked through the word. In the lifetime of one human being, the message of Christ and the resurrection and the gift of eternal life is spread throughout the known world at that day. Established already in Rome. And he continues to send sowers to sow.
including each of his people. His word does not return void. It does that for which he sends it. Sitting here in the pew this morning shows that. We have been called. It is faith comes by hearing, says the Apostle Paul, and hearing by the word of God. Someone has sowed the word of God into our hearts. And we gather here around his word and his sacraments. And at a time like this, when here in this earthly life, which the scriptures call the valley of the shadow of death, at a time when that ugly shadow hangs heavy over us here in our parish, we gather to hear his word and to receive the word made visible, as God's people have down through the centuries called the sacraments, to receive the word that became flesh in his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. And we rejoice in the assurance that his word will not return to him without accomplishing that for which he sends it. And we cry with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
prayer this morning for Pastor and Jeff. Dear Lord Jesus, in this life-threatening illness of our pastor Stoltz, we pray for your care and protection for him and Janet and their loved ones. Strengthen their faith in your love for them. Comfort them with the assurance that you work all things for good to those who love you. Our prayer is that you would use the medical teams as your means of a healing miracle. We know that your thoughts and ways are as high above ours as heaven is above earth. And our prayer is, thy will be done. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and to give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Smack you in the mouth. is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take it, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you.
Peace of the Lord keep you in your baptism of grace, now and into eternity. Peace of our Lord keep you in your baptism.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Take and drink
for the remission of your sins.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Take and drink for the remission of your sins.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of your sins.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
Upon thee and give thee peace.